Chapter 7 of On the Duties of the Clergy, Book the Second. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. On the Duties of the Clergy by St. Ambrose, Book the Second, Chapter 7. What is useful is the same as what is virtuous. Nothing is more useful than love, which is gained by gentleness, courtesy, kindness, justice, and the other virtues, as we are given to understand from the histories of Moses and David. Lastly, confidence springs from love, and again love from confidence. There is, therefore, not only a close intercourse between what is virtuous and what is useful, but the same thing is both useful and virtuous. Therefore, he who willed to open the kingdom of heaven to all sought not what was useful to himself, but what was useful for all. Thus we must have a certain order and proceed step by step from habitual or common acts to those which are more excellent, so as to show by many examples the advancement of what is useful. And first we may know there is nothing so useful as to be loved, nothing so useless as not to be loved, for to be hated, in my opinion, is simply fatal and altogether deadly. We speak of this, then, in order that we may take care to give cause for a good estimate and opinion to be formed of us, and may try to get a place in others' affections through our calmness of mind and kindness of soul. For goodness is agreeable and pleasing to all, and there is nothing that so easily reaches human feelings. And if that is assisted by gentleness of character and willingness, as well as by moderation in giving orders and courtesy of speech, by honour in word, by a ready interchange of conversation, and by the grace of modesty, it is incredible how much all this tends to an increase of love. We read, not only in the case of private individuals, but even of kings, what is the effect of ready and willing courtesy, and what harm pride and great swelling words have done, so far as to make even kingdoms to totter and powers to be destroyed. If anyone gains the people's favour by advice or service, by fulfilling the duties of his ministry or office, or if he encounters danger for the sake of the whole nation, there is no doubt but that such love will be shown him by the people that they all will put his safety and welfare before their own. What reproaches Moses had to bear from his people! But when the Lord would have avenged him on those who reviled him, he often used to offer himself for the people that he might save them from the divine anger. With what gentle words used he to address the people even after he was wronged! He comforted them in their labors, consoled them by his prophetic declarations of the future, and encouraged them by his works. And though he often spoke with God, yet he was wont to address men gently and pleasantly. Worthily was he considered to stand above all men, for they could not even look on his face, and refused to believe that his sepulchre was found. He had captivated the minds of all the people to such an extent that they loved him even more for his gentleness than they admired him for his deeds. There is David, too, who followed his steps, who was chosen from among all to rule the people. How gentle and kindly he was! Humble in spirit too, how diligent and ready to show affection! Before he came to the throne, he offered himself in the stead of all. As king, he showed himself unequal to all in warfare, and shared in their labors. He was brave in battle, gentle in ruling, patient under abuse, and more ready to bear than to return wrongs. So dear was he to all, that though a youth, he was chosen even against his will to rule over them, and was made to undertake the duty, though he withstood it. When old, he was asked by his people not to engage in battle, because they all preferred to incur danger for his sake, rather than that he should undergo it for theirs. He had bound the people to himself freely in doing his duty. First, when he, during the division among the people, preferred to live like an exile at Hebron, rather than to reign at Jerusalem. Next, when he showed that he loved valor even in an enemy. He had also thought that justice should be shown to those who had borne arms against himself the same as to his own men. Again, he admired Abner, the bravest champion of the opposing side, whilst he was their leader and was yet waging war. Nor did he despise him when suing for peace, but honoured him by a banquet. When killed by treachery, he mourned and wept for him. He followed him and honoured his obsequies, and evinced his good faith in desiring vengeance for the murder. For he handed on that duty to his son in the charge that he gave him, being anxious rather than the death of an innocent man should not be left unavenged, than that any one should mourn for his own. It is no small thing, especially in the case of a king, so to perform humble duties as to make oneself like the very lowest. It is noble not to seek for food at another's risk, and to refuse a drink of water, to confess a sin, and to offer oneself to death for one's people. This latter David did, so that the divine anger might be turned against himself, when he offered himself to the destroying angel and said, "Lo, I have sinned, I, the shepherd, have done wickedly. But this flock, what hath it done? Let thy hand be against me." What further should I say? He opened not his mouth to those planning deceit, and, as though hearing not, he thought no word should be returned, nor did he answer their reproaches. When he was evil spoken of, he prayed. When he was cursed, he blessed. He walked in simplicity of heart, and fled from the proud. He was a follower of those unspotted from the world, one who mixed ashes with his food when bewailing his sins, and mingled his drink with weeping. Worthily then was he called for by all the people. All the tribes of Israel came to him, saying, "Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also yesterday and the day before, when Saul lived and reigned, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people." And why should I say more about him, of whom the word of the Lord has gone forth to say, "I have found David according to my heart"? Who ever walked in holiness of heart and in justice as he did, so as to fulfill the will of God, for whose sake pardon was granted to his children when they sinned, and their rights were preserved to his heirs? Who would not have loved him when they saw how dear he was to his friends? For as he truly loved his friends, so he thought that he was loved as much in return by his own friends. Nay, parents put him even before their own children, and children loved him more than their parents. Wherefore Saul was very angry, and strove to strike Jonathan his son with a spear, because he thought that David's friendship held a higher place in his esteem than either filial piety or a father's authority. It gives a very great impetus to mutual love, if one shows love in return to those who love us, and proves that one does not love them less than oneself is loved, especially if one shows it by the proofs that a faithful friendship gives. What is so likely to win favor as gratitude? What more natural than to love one who loves us? What so implanted and so impressed on men's feelings as the wish to let another, by whom we want to be loved, know that we love him? Well does the wise man say, "Lose thy money for thy brother and thy friend." And again, "I will not be ashamed to defend a friend, neither will I hide myself from him." If indeed the words in Ecclesiasticus testify that the medicine of life and immortality is in a friend, yet none has ever doubted that it is in love that our best defense lies. As the Apostle says, "It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth." Thus David failed not, for he was dear to all, and wished to be loved rather than feared by his subjects. Fear keeps the watch of temporal protection, but knows not how to keep guard permanently. And so where fear has departed, boldness often creeps in. For fear does not force confidence, but affection calls it forth. Love, then, is the first thing to give us a recommendation. It is a good thing, therefore, to have our witness in the love of many. Then arises confidence, so that even strangers are not afraid to trust themselves to thy kindness, when they see thee so dear to many. So likewise one goes through confidence to love, so that he who has shown good faith to one or two has an influence, as it were, on the minds of all, and wins the goodwill of all. End of chapter 7.